And now a special report on the history of the British monarchy.
If we are to trust Roman sources, Britain had monarchs governing the land before the legions of Emperor Claudius set foot on the isle. And it is also in these early sources that we find one of the defining features of monarchic rule in Britain, that it's the women rulers who make a more lasting impact on the kingdom. For instance, it is in these early sources that we learn about Boudica, a queen of the Iceni, one of the tribes of 1st century AD England, and her fight against the Romans. This fierce queen of East Anglia led a revolt in 60 AD, rising up against the Romans in revenge for their brutal treatment of her daughters. Despite some initial successes, which included the destruction of Londinium, she was finally defeated by the Romans and she took her own life by drinking poison to avoid capture. Like the rest of Europe, Britain started having monarchs as protagonists of its history after the fall of the Roman Empire in the late 5th century AD. In the early Middle Ages, after the Angles and the Saxons came from what is now Germany, there were plenty of kings in Britain. Their kingdoms were not very large, and most of their time was spent fighting with each other. The most memorable king of the early Middle Ages would have to be Alfred, aptly known as the Great. He was initially the King of Wessex, one of these smallish kingdoms that peppered the Isles in medieval times. But he went on to become the king of all of the Anglo-Saxons in the late 9th century. He managed to get the Angles and the Saxons to stick together, for a while, in the face of a common enemy, the Vikings. The Norse invaders had been ravaging Britain for decades, but they would eventually Christianize, and they would also be among the claimants and occupants of the throne of England. In fact, one of the best-remembered monarchs in British history, William the Conqueror, was a descendant of these Vikings. Born in the northwest of France, he was known as the Duke of Normandy. But in fact, the name of this region came from the name Norman, given to the Norseman or Viking. William conquered England in 1066, killing the last Anglo-Saxon king, Harold II, in the Battle of Hastings, on the south coast of England, just across the English Channel. William, who unified the kingdom once again, spoke French, as did his descendants. In fact, French was the language of the kings and the elite for 300 years. The French connection also led to the involvement in the conflict over the right to rule the Kingdom of France, known as the Hundred Years' War. The war, which actually lasted 116 years, only ended in 1453, after Joan of Arc turned the tide of the war in favour of the French. Not long after this eternal war abroad, England had a bitter conflict within its own shores. The Wars of the Roses saw the houses of York and Lancaster pitted against each other with the crown as their ultimate goal. In an unexpected plot twist, the Tudor house, a noble lineage with its origins in Wales, was ultimately the winner. Even though the Tudors' grip on the throne only lasted for 118 years, they are one of the dynasties that had the longest-lasting effects on the crown. For a start, due to Henry VIII's obsession with a male heir, he separated the English Church from the Catholic Church in Rome. In order to have religious approval for his divorce from his first wife, Catherine of Aragon. Ironically, it would be his daughter Elizabeth I, born from his second marriage to Anne Boleyn, who started the long process of turning the small island kingdom into a world power. It was under her reign that the Spanish were defeated in their attempt to conquer Britain, and it was because of her agreement with the Stuarts, the Scottish ruling house, that the two kingdoms were united. After she died without heirs, having refused to marry. The 17th century was an eventful one for the British. There was a foiled plot to kill the king, the gunpowder plot, a revolution, a beheading, and a reinstatement. The Stuarts would eventually be substituted in the 18th century by the House of Hanover, with unequivocal German origins. In the 19th century, the last and greatest Hanoverian monarch, Victoria, became the empress of a gigantic empire, mostly thanks to its naval power. With the arrival of the 20th century, the monarchy had its last change of owner. It now took the name of Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, after Victoria's husband Albert. This name did not last long. This dynasty had to endure two world wars against Germany, with the first one leading the royal house to change its name to Windsor, to distance the monarch from its German origins, an unwelcome link when young Britons were dying by the thousands under German fire. For most of the 20th century and these first 20 years of the 21st, Britain has only had one queen, Elizabeth II. She has had her fair share of rocky events, including an annus horribilis in 1992, but she remains a well-loved figure in many British homes. It remains to be seen if she'll manage to bequeath this affection to her son Charles.